today our lesson's going to be again on Ruth and handful of purposes. And he's not bothering me, so you just, I can handle that, okay? So you bet. You just go right ahead and let him have his little time, and we'll just all help you with him. There's his little case. He's getting, you come right on. Hallelujah. So handful of purposes. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 2, and we'll be doing verses 13 through 17. I might tell you that Ivy Castleman's not here this morning because Heather, her daughter-in-law, miscarried the baby yesterday, and so she's having a DNC this morning. So let's lift them up. I know that that was a real hard thing for them, and but God will restore, and let's believe it's a time for Mark and Heather to draw close to the Lord. And that, Matt, I'm sorry, I said Mark, wrong name. Matt and Heather, yes. That this will be a time to plug in, you know. I'm telling you, if you're out there without being plugged in, you're like a ship without a sail. And the enemy's out there to kill, steal, and destroy. So I'm just saying to you, let's hold them in prayer and Ivy in prayer. She called me yesterday and said, told me she was at the hospital and the baby, that they had miscarried the baby. Hallelujah. I think he's going to be a preacher. let's back up a little bit and do a little bit of review from the previous week. I ended the previous week with verse 12, the last, Ruth 2:12. Hallelujah. Father, we just take authority over all disruptions this morning. We know that you have planned today. And Holy Spirit, you are the teacher here today. And so we just ask right now for the situations and circumstances that would come to try to distract us, that, Father, that you bring about your divine order in this teaching today. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in Jesus' name. Sorry, I didn't turn that off before. Anyway, let's. I ended up with Ruth 2:12, the latter part of that, and two principles I taught last week. Well, at least two, but I taught about how, you know, how Ruth went into the harvest field and was obedient to do what she was supposed to do. And because of what she did, her reputation followed her and she got divine favor. And so I want to make a statement to you that I hope will be one of your refrigerator scriptures, and that is divine favor always follows obedience. Divine favor always follows obedience. Ruth was obedient, and so she got the favor of God, the favor of Boaz in her life because she was obedient. And so I think it's so important to know that when we're obedient to do what God has called us to do, and it's not always an easy thing, but when we're obedient to do what God has called us to do, there's going to be favor in our life as a result of it. And hallelujah. Susie, would you dig in my purse and turn that phone off? It's going to start beeping me. Just wherever it is, honey. Okay. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. The principle number, one of the other principles that we talked about was the last part of verse 12 there talks about that she was under his wings. And I emphasize Psalms 91, that we need to learn to live under the wings, the sheltering wings of the Father. Hallelujah. The sheltering wings, that protection. And Psalms 91 says, he who dwells lives under the shadow of the Almighty, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And I think it's so important for us to learn to live under his sheltering wings and to know that we are, that we don't have to be afraid. You know, we can operate in faith or we can operate in fear. And when you know that you know that you know that you're under his wings, you're safe, you're secure. And you know, many years ago when I taught children's church, one of our favorite, back then we did flashcards, had flashcards. think that's what they were called. You showed the pictures as you shared the stories. And one of my favorite stories was called The Little Red Hen. And it was about out on the farm and about the little red hen and all of her little chicks and everything. And one time there was a fire at the farm. And when it was all over, it was a devastating fire. When it was all over, there was something laying out there that looked like a blackened football or something like that. And they went out and kind of kicked this charred image, and it was the little red hen. But underneath her wings was all her baby chicks. And I want you to know that you're God's baby chicks. You're under his wings. And you have protection from all the works, the fires of the enemy that come against you. And it may sometimes feel like the fire is hot, but I want to tell you something. Your protection is there. God loves you. And I want you to meditate and know, if you don't even, I encourage to memorize Psalms 91. I have it on a little card in my car. I carry one in my briefcase. We passed them out a couple of years ago. And I keep Psalms 91 before my face a lot. And when I travel, I believe for traveling mercies, and I believe for the favor of God. And so we don't have to live a life of fear when we know that we are living under his sheltering wings. And that's what Ruth said. And of course, we said last week about that Boaz was a type of, he was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And it's a type of our kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us, buy us back, and set us up and give us a position in life. So today we're going to go to verse 13. I believe that's right. Let's see. Let me flip over here. No, I taught on, yeah, 2:13 through 17, verses 2. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. I need to say one other thing. Last week I passed out the communication guidelines. And the reason I did that is because Ruth, the way she asked, could she glean in the field? I mean, she said, please. Her attitude was one of being submissive, not aggressive. She knew it was her right to glean in that field, but she didn't go in and say, look, this is my place, I'm going to glean here. No, she went in and she asked, could she harvest in that field? And so I passed out the communication guidelines. Did anybody read those? I have a couple more copies of them. You didn't get one. Did you read them? I'm telling you, they help. It helps, doesn't it? Because what we say and the way we say it, and sometimes what we don't say, because I'm sensitive about this, I see people sometimes don't say anything, but you get the look. Is anybody ever guilty of the look? you know what they mean whenever. It was funny, in a meeting we were in recently, and there were several couples that were there, and my husband saw the lady give her husband the look like, don't do that. And so I'm telling you, we have that look that sometimes we don't have to say a word, but people know what we mean. So communications are so important. And I think as you watch Ruth, you'll see that her communication was positive. It was one of more of a servant, more of a humble, a quieter, peaceful spirit that she had. And because she had that attitude, though, we see that she found favor and people were noticing her attitude. So in verse 13, though, it says, let me read. And then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. In other words, she said, thank you. You've spoken. Let me find favor in your sight. Now let's look at verse 14. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread into the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Let's look at the statement when he said to her, eat of the bread. It was not just come, but partake of what we have at our table. Our Redeemer wants us to eat of his word until our souls and our life has been satisfied. when he talked about the nourishment, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in John 6:51 says, drink of his fountain of life until we are full to overflowing. And John 7:37, again, he talks about eating of the bread and drinking of the water. God has prepared a banquet for his children every time his word is taught and preached. And so I'm saying that to you today. When we come to Bible study, when we come to church, when they went to Larry Woody's, you come and God has prepared a banquet for you. And we can take and eat of it, or we can leave it aside. And so I encourage you, whatever time, or when you're listening to a tape, or when you're reading, or whatever you want to do, God has prepared a banquet for you. A lot of times people will stay home and they don't come. Well, I just didn't feel like going today. And the meal has been prepared. And Jesus is saying, come and dine, come and dine. There's an old song, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You may eat at Jesus' table anytime. He has fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. And I wonder how many times we go hungry because we don't take time out to dine. Come and dine and eat of his word and drink of what he has for us. And so today, as we teach this, I have prepared at the end of Bible study today, communion, because I believe this is a type of communion where Jesus is saying, drink of my cup and eat of my bread. I want you to be refreshed. I want you to be healed. I want you to be restored in your life. Boaz, before he became Ruth's kinsman redeemer, he invited her to have a meal of bread and wine. And as I think this is a foreshadowing of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. Before he went to the cross, he invited his own to take communion with him. Remember the disciples in Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28, Jesus invited his disciples at the Last Supper to come and dine with him. And I want to tell you, he is always wooing people to come, eat of my bread, sit at my table, partake of me. And he did that even before he went to the cross, that he invited people to do that. And now that he's paid the price, now he wants you to have all the provision. And Boaz invited Ruth before he ever was her kinsman redeemer. He invited her to come and sit at his table. And then it says that she sat beside the reapers. Notice that there in verse 14. So she sat beside the reapers. She sat beside the reapers. Boaz was giving Ruth a position of equal status with those who had been in his household for years. He wanted her to feel as though she belonged. Here she was a foreigner, a woman from Moab, and she was a Moabite. Yet he was bringing her into the inner circle of his family and his workers. I want to say that to you as a church, people, that God is wanting us to, when people walk in our doors that are from the outside that we don't know, he wants us to bring them into our circle. He wants us to make them feel equal with us, not less than. And so it would behoove us when we see people come in, if we reach out and make sure that they're touched. Just this last week, we didn't share this in Sunday service, I don't think, but there's been a couple that's been attending here, I know, since last summer, and it may be a little bit longer than that. And we didn't know who they were when they walked in through the door. Like many Sundays, we have visitors and we don't know who they are. But we reached out and loved them and touched them, and you did too, made them feel welcome. They have a lake home here. They live in Bentonville, but they have a lake home here, and this is where they come to rest. And we just touched them, and one day I said, let's have lunch and get better acquainted. And the man couldn't come, but his wife called and said she would come to Bible study. She visited our Bible study one Tuesday. I believe she came to Bible study. And I invited Carol Ann to go with us, and we took her to lunch. Well, they come occasionally, but not real often, but they come occasionally. At lunch, she shared with us about a daughter that they had that was had some mental problems through her teenage years. And we prayed with her. And then they were here 2 weeks ago, and Carol Ann ministered to Linda that day. Again, her daughter was good, and then she was not doing so well, and she was in a mental hospital in Boston. And anyway, we didn't know all the details. We just know they needed prayer. And so Carol Ann ministered to her. Well, we got a call Friday morning, and the 20-year-old daughter had committed suicide. And so, but the thing about it is they called us, and they said, and talked to Pastor, and he said, we'll be there. And we, Pastor and I, went to that service in Bentonville on Friday. And anyway, they told us, had this happened to them 2 years ago, it would have shattered their lives and their marriage. The husband said this, but because they had come here and you had loved them and touched them, then they said, we'll walk through this. You never know who's coming through that door. And you know, thank God that sent us here, because I don't think one Sunday when Craig Limley was here, Linda's hand went up for salvation and came forward. I think they had kind of been more social Christians than they were before they came here in that sphere. But anyway, we've had a chance to touch those lives. And Boaz did that for Ruth. He made her not feel like an outsider, like she wasn't equal to the rest of the people. But he made her feel special and had her come and sit with the reapers. He didn't have her sit outside the circle. He took her in his circle of love and made her feel like she was a part of the inner circle. And I just want to comment to you. I say, tell you these things so you can know the influence that you're having on the people who walk through the doors. And, you know, Pastor Mark and Carol Ann, Pastor Bill and I, we can't touch them all, but with all of us, we can touch them. And so it's so important. So he told her, he said, you sit with the reapers, you sit down with them, and he made her feel special. Our Redeemer, our Jesus Christ, gives us equal status when we come to the cross. It does not matter what age we are or where we came from. When we come to the cross, we become equal. We're part of the family of God. You know what? We often say, and we mean it, we care, but we don't care where you came from. We just care where you're going, and that's what it's all about. And then you'll notice that Boaz did the next thing that he did as he's ministering to her. He passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. He passed parched grain to her. She was the least, yet he treated her as though she was the greatest. He gave her extra. And I thought about when people first come to the Lord, how it's like everything they pray happens. Anybody have that experience? I mean, every prayer you pray, it happens. I mean, and they have so much zeal. It's like, well, I've been praying for 5 years and it didn't happen. How come Jenna gets her prayer answered and she just got saved last week? Well, I think God does that extra mercy, that extra grace to increase our faith until he doesn't always do that for us. He wants us to grow on up and use our faith. But when we first come to him, there's something about it. It's just sometimes easier. We get our prayers answered and that sort of thing. And so I believe that that's what Boaz was doing as her kinsman redeemer. He was making sure she got an extra portion of grace in her life. She ate and was satisfied. But notice what else she did. Look there at your Bible. What else did she do? She ate and she was satisfied. But what did she do? She kept some back. She didn't eat everything that was given to her. And I believe that people come to church and we come to Bible study and we eat at the banqueting table, but we don't take with us a portion to give somebody else in need. And she kept back because she had Naomi on her mind, somebody else that needed to be fed. And a lot of times we come and we get the word and we hear the message, and yet we don't keep back and go and share it. We're starting into an outreach for Easter. I have a little pin on this morning, and I can't promote it yet, but we're getting ready for an outreach to reach out to people. And it's a nail that's made into a little heart. And it's all about love and reaching out. And you'll see those around. But I think is so important wherever we go. Lynn and I went to Curves yesterday. They had all day long. You went early, I think. I went later. Things happened. I didn't get to go to later. But anyway, did you meet little Twyla, the little new lady that's in there? And anyway, I was the only one in there, and they had had 30-plus people all day long, only one in there. But God gave me an opportunity. Didn't go to church any place, but she's got an invitation. And God is wanting you to keep your hands a little bit of grain, a little bit of food, so that you can reach out to other people when the opportunity arrives. And that's what Ruth was doing. It wasn't all about her, even though she ate till she was satisfied, but she kept back a little to take to Naomi. And I want to encourage you to keep your hand filled with a little to meet somebody's need. Somebody out there, their town is full of people. And Linda, not only does she not go to church, but her mother-in-law doesn't go to church. And so they haven't, I asked her, because we were the only two in there, and I'm always careful. We have to be careful with those things. But naturally, the conversation always comes around, too. If I get a chance, it's going to come around, too. Where do you attend church? And anyway, she said, well, we don't. Somebody suggested, da-da-da-da. And I said, you need to come visit us. Give us a chance. You'll love our church, you know, and that sort of thing. And so we'll see. You know, at least we put it out there, and we'll see. She will get another little card and some things like that. But keep something there to share with other people. Because I'm going to tell you, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And they're everywhere, not just one or two. She told me other Linda had been back, too. I asked her, has Linda Holcomb been here? And she said, yeah, she came in today. You went yesterday morning. But I want to encourage you. I tell you, Curves has a good atmosphere, and I'm not getting paid a dime for this. And if all of you join up, I don't get a free session, okay? But I have really enjoyed the atmosphere that's in there, plus the fact I needed to because I was getting so stiff and that sort of thing. And Linda goes, and if you don't exercise someplace, this is the only body we're going to get. And so we got to do that. So anyway, but we see that also that Ruth, she ate and was satisfied, and she kept some back. We come to church, we read the word, and we get revelation on it. But then do we save some back to give to other people? Our oldest son came and had breakfast with us Saturday morning from Tulsa, Mike, and his wife is Debbie. Some of you know her. And Debbie is a woman of the word, and she had gotten a little revelation this last week, and I just felt like she gave it out to her husband, and he gave it to us, and it was really good. It really went along with what Pastor was preaching Sunday, but I want to share it with you today, because I think that when you get revelation, like the sheep coming up the walkway, and then it happened, that encourages other people's faith. And Debbie was reading in the scriptures where the disciples and Jesus was in the boat, and Jesus was asleep, and the storm came. And the revelation she got from that was they went to Jesus and woke him up and said, do you not care that we're perishing? And the revelation she got from that is when you're in the midst of a storm, wake up the word. For Jesus was the word that came in flesh, or the flesh, which you're one that I flip-flopped that, I think. But anyway, when you're in the midst of a storm, wake up the word that's on the inside of you. Begin to speak the word of God. And I thought, that's the little nuggets that the Holy Spirit will teach you as you're going along. And when you wake up the word, and Debbie, Mike brought that to us, and I kept hearing, in the middle of a storm, we wake up the word. What do we usually do? Get into fear. What's going to happen? But when you wake up the word on the inside of you, and I just thought, thank you, Debbie, for not eating all your grain and bringing a little bit and sharing it with somebody else. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I keep a little journal. I don't know if you do or not, but I keep a little tablet right beside my where I have my devotion. And we passed those out last year. I gave a lot of you little books that you could just write things in, I think. No, we passed out the photo albums. Anyway, but I keep a little book, and I just write things there. And be a person that encourages other people. Naomi was hungry, but Ruth fed her, and she took her food, and she had a concern for her. Who do you know that's hungry for Jesus? Who do you know that's hungry for Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit leading you to that's hungry for Jesus? They need the food that you have received. And then we see in the next statement we want to make here, and it says, so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded the young man, saying, let her glean even amongst the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Do not reproach her. The poor were not allowed to glean between the sheaves. Boaz commanded his reapers, even if Ruth gleans improperly because of her lack of knowledge of the law, you are not to embarrass her by correcting her. And I thought about new believers. You know, they come in, they don't know a lot of things that we know. And so it's important that we learn to guide them gently and have patience with them. You just think if they get saved, they ought to start acting right. Well, they don't always act right when they, you know, we don't either. But we need to be patient. We need to make deposits of in their lives of kindness and mercy and grace. You know, someday I may need to make a withdrawal from the bank that I've deposited in. And Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And when we're merciful with other people and we make deposits of mercy and grace and love and that sort of thing in their lives, there may come a day when we need that same thing in our life and we'll be able to withdraw from the bank we've deposited in. Verse 16, and let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Boaz was determined to provide for her. He became her Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And Jehovah Jireh, our provider, will always make a way. And Boaz was making sure that he could make a way for her. And God always will make a way where there seems to be no way. I thought about how he, you know, you might think it's impossible, but as I was doing this lesson, I thought how he opened the Red Sea. That was an impossibility, but he did it. Not only that, he released the children of Israel from Egypt, his people. He made a way for them to get out and take all of Jehovah Jireh, all the provision with them, the gold and all that sort of thing. And I thought about the ravens who came and fed Elisha. I thought about the manna that he provided from heaven and the quail. And Mary said it in Luke 4:37, for with God nothing is impossible. What impossible situation are you facing today? See it and speak it. Begin to let the Holy Spirit move with you. And Boaz was making sure that she had more than enough and made a way for her. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And I think they said that was about 4 gallons after she got through with it. And she beat out what she had gleaned. We see Ruth continuing. She didn't quit just because she got favor and was blessed. A lot of times people back off, you know. Well, you know, they've gotten what they want and they back off. But she went right back in to the harvest field. And you know what? A lot of times we quit and give up. And especially, you know, what I see not so much anymore, but in my own life, when things were going good, I didn't read the word as much. I mean, it was always, God was my God in a crisis when I got in trouble. Man, I ran, got my Bible and started praying and all that sort of thing. Well, Ruth didn't give up. She didn't back off. She went right back out in the field and continued to work. And that's one of the things we need to do. There's a scripture, and I didn't look at it up, but I'm hearing it. It says, the hand of the diligent maketh rich, but he who works with a slothful hand tendeth to poverty. And God wants us to be diligent people. He doesn't want us to sit down on a seat and say, well, bless God, I'm okay, my family's all saved, this is okay. That no, he wants us to continue in the harvest field, to continue to bring in the harvest for his kingdom. And that's, I felt like that I saw Ruth was a woman of diligence. She was a woman that was diligent, and she didn't take things for granted. She went right back out in the harvest field and continued to work. Also, Ruth was a woman of faith. She found faith in every task. Even though Boaz extended extraordinary privileges to her and provisioned her, Ruth was faithful to return to the gleaning field. Now, I need to say this to you. True faith produces faithfulness. True faith produces faithfulness. If you have real faith in your life, you will be faithful to the one that you have faith in. And so true faith produces faithfulness. In order for Ruth to take the harvest home, she had to work diligently in the field. In order for Ruth to take the harvest home, she had to work diligently in the field. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest will remain. Our Father, the great master of the harvest, needs faithful reapers to work in his fields until the fruit of our labor has been gathered for him. He wants us. We're in the harvest right now. The harvest is white. The laborers are few. And we know Matthew 9:37 and 38 says, pray for laborers in the harvest. Pray that the people will come and work in the harvest. And during this outreach time, we're praying for laborers. You're going to be given an opportunity to be recruited to be one of the laborers in the harvest for this time. People are more sensitive about coming to church and that sort of thing at Easter time than any other time of the year. And so you will be recruited to be one of those laborers in the harvest for this time. And I'm just saying to you, don't miss the blessing. Don't see it as another thing we've got to do. You know, our attitudes. Let's be willing to put our hand to the plow and go out into the harvest and bring in the harvest for the kingdom of God. Because there's greatest rewards. Remember, favor follows obedience. And when we're obedient to bring in God's harvest, I can tell you, you're going to have a harvest of increase in your life. Hallelujah. And there's nothing more rewarding than to stand beside a bed and have a man that you know is going into eternity stick his hand out and say, yes, pray for me, when you know he didn't believe. I don't care if Pastor brought me a 10 carat ring yesterday. You know, 10 carats. Nothing is as rewarding as knowing that you snatched that soul out of the pits of hell and that he's going to be with Jesus. And so I'm saying, you don't miss that blessing. We might think it's hard, but you just say, God, show me who. Help me to know. Give me the opportunity. And then don't be afraid. Satan binds us. Like, well, you might say the wrong thing. They're going to think you're a fanatic. You might turn them off. But don't let him do that to you. Because bottom line is, that person really needs to be fed and needs Jesus. And you know, I used to, as a child, they'd teach us about when you get to heaven someday and somebody didn't make it and they look at you and say, why didn't you tell me? That would be heart-rending when you had the opportunity. Why didn't you tell me? You knew. Why didn't you tell me? Now I have to spend eternity in hell. That's pretty awakening. So I'm just saying, take that opportunity and pray God to give you opportunities and give you the boldness to speak and move into that. Hallelujah. And Matthew 10:7-8 says, even after Jesus said, pray for laborers in the harvest, then in that very next chapter, Matthew 10:7-8, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He wanted them to lead by example. And after the crucifixion, Jesus said in Mark 16:15, his last thing was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We, as his disciples, we must have faith that his word will transform people's lives. This is a quote you'll want. A living faith is a going faith. A living faith is a going faith. A vital faith is an evangelizing faith. A vital faith is an evangelizing faith. Sharing the love of Jesus will bring a great harvest in your life, just the same as it did in Ruth's life. And you will have a handful of purpose. when your mission, when your call, your passion is to see that other people know Jesus, you've got purpose in your life. Quite a few years ago, and one of our purpose statements came from this event in my life. I had watched my mother and my husband's mother and some other people as they got older. They kind of felt like they didn't have any purpose, like it was all over with, you know. I've done it all. I've seen it all. They didn't have any purpose. And so I was getting ready one Sunday morning to come to church. And because I had seen these events in other people's lives, I said, Lord, I want to know what my purpose is while I still can know what my purpose is. You know, just being concerned because people lose sight of what their purpose is. And I heard, not audibly, your purpose is to worship me and love people. Bottom line, that's a handful of purpose. If I'd spend my life worshiping him and loving people, then every day is a new day and a new beginning and exciting with him. Does my body always feel like it's exciting? No. But you know what? Inside of me, there's something stirring. Who am I going to get to touch today? Father, I worship you today. And Ruth was that type of person, I believe. And that's why this story has been put in the Word of God for us to see our Redeemer, kinsman redeemer, who redeemed us, but put us out into the harvest field so he could bless us. Because as we continue this story, you'll see that Ruth got the desire of her heart, and her latter house was truly greater than her former house. And God wants us to know, though, that he's placed us in this earth for such a time as this with a purpose. There are no spare parts. Every believer ought to be in a field, one greater in the field of one greater than Boaz. Every believer, you're in the harvest field. Whether you want to be or not, you may be sitting on the sideline not doing nothing, but you're in the harvest field. And you know what? God's given you opportunities. And I'm calling you today, let's be obedient to him, because out of obedience comes favor.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.